ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, Julia Baird and Jeremy Fernandez here. And on our pod, Not Stupid, we unpack some of the big and more curious stories of the week.
From whatever's going on in America right now to AI slop and stolen artifacts.
You can find Not Stupid on ABC Listen.
We know Donald Trump doesn't like losing elections. He's still claiming that the 2020 poll was rigged and stolen. Now, with the midterms in just over 8 months' time, there's concern he's trying to fiddle with the voting system. Today, law professor Rick Hassin from UCLA on Trump's tactics and whether he can get away with trying to meddle with US democracy again. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Rick, we're going to have a look at what Donald Trump might be doing to, well, shore up his chances at the midterms in November, because at this point, is it safe to say he's worried about how that might go?
Well, he's repeatedly said that the reality is that presidents usually lose seats for their party in the midterm elections. And if you look at the polling, this is going to be potentially a big loss for Trump. And He's worried about being impeached, and he knows the Democrats would make the final 2 years of his presidential term very unpleasant if they are able to capture one or both houses of Congress.
Now, I won't say cancel the election. They should cancel the election because the fake news will say, he wants the elections canceled. He's a dictator. They always call me a dictator. You got to win the midterms, because if we don't win the midterms, it's just going to be, I mean, they'll find a reason to impeach me. I'll get impeached. We don't impeach them. You know why? Because they're meaner than we are.
All right, well, why don't we just rewind to last month when we saw some rather unusual images, didn't we, of the US Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, in Georgia. Just tell me about those images and what was going on.
Well, to understand the story, we have to go back to the 2020 election.
Uh-huh.
Biden appeared to have won the election. Donald Trump contested that. Mm-hmm. He claimed that American elections were rife with fraud. Trump claimed that the ballots were being manipulated, especially by mail, and Trump has not let it go.
It was a rigged election. Everybody now knows that. They found out. People will soon be prosecuted for what they did. It's a rigged election. Can't have rigged elections.
So Trump sent one of the FBI agents to a federal judge who issued a search warrant and allowed the FBI agents to seize the ballots for Fulton County, Georgia, that includes Atlanta, and to have those ballots taken, we don't know where, for some kind of examination, as well as other materials related to the 2020 election. As you mentioned, Tulsi Gabbard, who's the Director of National Intelligence, was there. This is not really in her purview. She should be looking at foreign intelligence, but some reporting has said that Trump has tasked her with dealing with voter fraud claims, and since she, like Trump, is a conspiracy theorist, this is giving her something to do.
Oh.
And so that's why I think she was there.
Right. And just to point out, someone in a senior position like her wouldn't normally turn up at a raid like this.
Right, but it's even worse than that, is that, if it's one thing if the Attorney General, who's in charge of the FBI, showed up, Pam Bondi, but this was someone who has no real connection to domestic law enforcement questions.
Wow. Okay. Well, Trump was asked about this on NBC, asked why Tulsi Gabbard was actually there and all these images of her emerged. And he said he didn't know.
Why is Tulsi Gabbard there?
I don't know. But, you know, a lot of the cheating comes from it's international cheating.
Do you believe that?
Well, there have been a number of different stories.
Uh-huh.
He said he didn't know she was there. He said that the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, sent her there.
She took a lot of heat 2 days ago because she went in at Pam's insistence. She went in and she looked at votes that want to be checked out from Georgia.
Pam Bondi said that Trump wanted her there. We do know that when she was there, Trump called her on her cell phone, and he spoke on speakerphone briefly to the FBI agents who were conducting the raid to kind of give an attaboy, you know, good job. Mm-hmm. And also something very improper. You generally don't want the president to be involved in any law enforcement efforts. It can taint the process and suggests perhaps if there were ever any criminal charges that this is some kind of political payback or retribution or something like that.
So just explain, though, this raid and how that plays into the midterms.
Okay, so I think there are two stories that we might tell about this raid, digging up this old controversy. One story is we're trying to placate a man who is obsessed with having lost that election, and this is just something to give more red meat to the vote deniers, to the voter conspiracy theorists. That's kind of the optimistic story. Mm-hmm. And the Tulsi Gabbard is just being given something to do since she doesn't necessarily agree with some of Trump's more aggressive incursions into Venezuela, his bombing of Iran, and other things like that.
Yes.
That's the good news.
Right.
The bad news is this is a kind of test run for 2026. Mm-hmm. And this is where I have some concerns. It would be much, much worse if there would be a seizure of ballots during a live election when the ballots were being tabulated or during the period when there might be a recount. Once the ballots leave the custody of local election officials, we don't know that the count would be accurate. Ballots could be added, they could be subtracted, they could be changed. And so it's very dangerous if there's even a thought that this could happen. And in an interview that Trump gave a few months ago, he said that one of his regrets about 2020 was that he didn't order the military to seize ballot boxes. Mm. And so that tells you this is not something that's out of the question, even though I don't think it's likely.
And it's not even just Georgia, is it? The Department of Justice is after the electoral rolls in like 20 states at this point.
Well, that's a somewhat different effort. Uh-huh. That is an effort to try to create some kind of national database of voters, to compare it to a national database, which we know is incomplete and inaccurate, of American citizens. And I think to use that as a pretext to argue that there's a lot of fraud because they're going to find some duplicates. They're going to find some names of people who might appear to be non-citizens. But I think this is to try to gear up the atmosphere for making voting harder. And just before we got onto this interview, I saw that the United States House of Representatives passed a controversial bill called the SAVE Act, which would make voter registration much harder. It would require that people provide documentary proof of citizenship, like a birth certificate or a naturalization certificate. We don't have national identity cards in the United States, so people don't have these things at their fingertips to establish their citizenship. It passed in the House. It will likely die in the United States Senate, but it certainly is a worrisome development.
And I have actually also, Rick, seen suggestions that on voting day, Trump might send ICE agents out to polling booths. Well, that was a sort of suggestion made by Steve Bannon, who's a former advisor to him and, of course, now a podcaster.
Right. We're going to have ICE surround the polls come November. We're not going to sit here and allow you to steal the country again. And you can whine and cry and throw your toys out of the pram all you want, but we will never again allow an election to be stolen.
What do you make of that? And, I mean, how detrimental could that be in terms of people turning out to vote?
Well, first of all, Steve Bannon is the person who is famous for saying that they should flood the zone with shit. And so this is someone who knows how to spread disinformation, make liberal people's heads explode. Mm. So I don't take what Steve Bannon says seriously.
Okay.
I had been concerned about military exercises, something ICE agents, National Guard around polling places, which would be illegal. There's a federal statute that says that armed forces need to stay away from the polls. Mm. I think that the terrible events in Minnesota probably make it much less likely that this would happen. If there were actually troops going into the streets to try to interfere with elections, I think people would crawl over glass to go vote. I think it would have the opposite reaction. I think it's much easier if you're trying to manipulate an election to do it on the back end rather than the front end when the ballots are being tabulated.
All right, well, Rick, let's have a look at what else, there's a lot going on, but what else is going on and why alarm bells are ringing when it comes to the midterms in November. Now, after these raids that we mentioned in Georgia, Trump, he began talking about nationalizing or taking over the running of elections.
The Republicans should say, we want to take over, we should take over the voting in at least many, 15 places. The Republicans ought to nationalize the voting. And we have states that are so crooked and they're counting.
So what's that all about? What's he been saying?
Well, he made a few comments about nationalizing elections, and he said he would do this in 15 different places. He later said, identifying some of those places as Detroit, Philadelphia, and Atlanta. These are all Democratic cities with large minority populations. I don't think it's a coincidence. You know, there's a kind of dog whistle, race baiting in Trump's comments. Mm. It's not clear if what he meant by nationalizing elections was to actually have uniform federal rules for running elections. That would be practically impossible to impose in time for November's elections and would require congressional legislation. I think what he may have meant, although I'm not a mind reader, so I don't know for sure, I think what he may have meant is that he wants to have federal oversight in places where he claims the voting is fraudulent. That, you know, suggests the kind of possibility of sending in federal agents to watch the tabulation or even seizing ballot boxes, things like that. Mm. That's where my greatest concern is. And that's what I think he probably meant, because I don't think he understands the intricacies of election administration. He said in those remarks that states are merely the agents for the federal government in conducting elections. That's not true. The Constitution gives the states the power to conduct elections unless Congress comes in and affirmatively imposes additional rules that have to be applied to those elections.
So you're pretty concerned about these comments. But actually, interestingly, Rick, you once sort of advocated for this nationalization of elections, but I presume you've changed your mind now.
So back in 2004, I came to Canberra. And yes. I learned about the AEC, and I saw how well things are run. I also looked at Canada, where they have very good nonpartisan national election administration. And I thought this would be a good model for the United States. We have so many different electoral jurisdictions using different machinery and different rules. Creates all kinds of problems when we have close elections. And so I wrote a book in 2012 called The Voting Wars, where I said, let's be more like Australia. Mm-hmm. And I now believe that the American democracy is too weak to do that. Uh-huh. Because if we had a national body that was administering elections, just like Trump is trying to assert his executive authority over different parts of the government, like the Federal Reserve, they're supposed to be independent of presidential power, he would assert his authority over any kind of election authority. And so I no longer think the United States is mature enough to be able to have national nonpartisan election administration.
Wow. All right. Well, why don't we look then at that notion about democracy and what is actually going on in the United States at the moment. Given all we've discussed about the midterms and what's going on in the lead up to them, how concerned are you that they will be fair and democratic?
Well, I think the idea is that now is the time to prepare. Now's the time to be resilient. Now's the time to figure out what to do if Trump tries to do these various things. If the polling is correct, right now the Democrats would capture many, many seats. If the election is a blowout, then Trump attempted interference wouldn't be likely to make a difference. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, right now that's the most likely scenario. It's just if it's very close, and especially if it's very close and we're waiting for weeks from results from some states that take a long time to count their ballots, like California, that's when I think we'd be in a very dangerous period where Trump would be trying to interfere with how the tabulation of ballots would be taking place. That's if control of the House of Representatives were at stake. Mm. And, you know, ultimately, you've got the courts, you've got the states, and you've got the American people who are going to be the bulwarks against any attempt to interfere with the election. So while I'm nervous, I do think that this is on Americans' radar. People are paying attention to this, and that's good. It won't be like 2020, where all of a sudden we have an event like January 6th and people had, you know, no idea where this was coming from, despite the fact that many of us in the field were warning that just such a thing could take place.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've painted a pretty bleak picture, but would Americans really stand for this stolen election idea for a second time?
I think that there would be tremendous resistance if there were federal troops going into seize ballot boxes. I think you'd have major nonviolent resistance by American people, and you'd have courts getting involved. And so I do think that ultimately American democracy can survive Donald Trump, but it might not be easy.
Rick Hatton is a professor of law at UCLA in California. He also directs the Safeguarding Democracy Project. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed and Sam Dunn. Audio production by Cinnamon Nippard. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.